Hi, this is The Greatest Story Ever Played. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
And today we're going to be talking about Life is Strange 2, Episode 4, called Faith. But before we do that, we've got some news to share with you. Two things. First one being is that we set up a website. It's at thegreateststoryeverplayed.com. So just look that up. You'll find our website. The website itself is pretty cool. It's got all the episodes on it. It's got links to all the places you can find us on, you know, whatever podcast player of choice you use. You can get direct links to those. You can actually have episodes, like, sent to your phone if you have it text your number, which is cool.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah. It's got, like, reviews and, I don't know, other stuff like that on it. Yeah. We'll probably put extra content up there as time goes on, too. But pretty cool. So Greatest Story Ever Played, thegreateststoryeverplayed.com, look that up. And then our second announcement is we've set up a Patreon. Yeah, with Patreon, as you may or may not know, running a podcast does cost money. And so we're hoping to kind of recoup some of that via Patreon. Or we actually have a Ko-fi that's on the website too, where you can do a one-time donation. But yeah, we'll be able to recoup some of the money. That would be cool. I guess stating up front too, the podcast won't ever cease because of money. at all. It's not a, you know, if we don't get money, then we don't want to do this anymore. We don't feel that way at all. But rather, you know, for hosting and for a website and different things like that, that does cost money. And so if some money could be offset on that, that would be pretty sweet.
Yeah, we're not like trying to make a bunch of money. We're just trying to somehow support it without spending a bunch of money.
Right.
I guess. But we're also still willing to spend that money if we have to.
Right, right, exactly. But with setting up the Patreon, we did also want to make it kind of worth your while, so to speak. And with that, if you become a Patreon supporter for us, there will be a free Patreon-exclusive episode that comes out each month. And to be clear on that, too, our episodes like we've been doing where it's an episode review of a game, that kind of thing, those will always be on the main feed. We'll never have games that are on the Patreon feed or something like that that's hidden. Instead, the Patreon content will be, I guess, stuff more about video games in general, so you know, tomorrow actually we're releasing an example of what our Patreon episodes will look like, and that episode is on video game adaptations we'd like to see. So video games that we'd love to see as like a movie or a comic book or, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing. And, you know, other Patreon exclusive episodes that we'll do in the future will be things like our favorite episodes in Life of Strange or our favorite games from when we were kids or something like that, or you know, stuff that the Patreon people vote on. That's fine too. You know, we're pretty open on that. You know, if you're giving us money to support the podcast happening, then we want to give you additional content that you would want. So that's pretty flexible, but it will never be games. Games will always be on the main feed that you always get, like you always have. That's gonna stay the same. So just, I guess, saying that up front. And also, you can read about this stuff if you go to patreon.com/thegreateststoryeverplayed, or on our website, there's a direct link to the Patreon. So either one works, but we want to do a quick rundown of our Patreon tiers that we're getting going. So first one, this is our supporter tier. This is the main tier. This is what we would think most people would sign up as if they were to. And this is if you pledge $1 or more per month, then you will get a bonus episode each month, as we'd mentioned. And again, these are going to be more topical in nature, stuff like what I just mentioned. No game reviews themselves on Patreon. Those will, of course, come through the normal podcast feed like it always has. And yeah, you sign up for that, you'll get a bonus episode each month. So that's cool. Our second tier, this is what we're calling the producer tier. This is a one-time pledge of $150. If you choose to do this, we will record an episode on your game of choice as an episode on the main feed. In this episode, we'd credit you as the producer, as our inspiration for doing this episode. So this episode, we're doing Fallout 76. We're not doing that. But,
yeah.
I guess unless you want us to.
Yeah, we'll
then
try.
Then I guess we will. Fallout 76 is brought to you by Steve. Thanks, Steve. And then we'd, you know, do our thing like that. But yeah, this could be a way to help dictate the content we do, if you like. that would be cool. I guess also if it is, ideally, if it was something that's cross-platform, if it's on PS4 and Xbox One, that would help us out a lot, since we have separate systems.
For now, yeah.
Yeah, for now. So that would, that would, ensure the quickness of an episode like that being done. And, you know, of course, if it's a short game, the turnaround time would probably be a lot easier than something monstrous. Then, you know, if you want us to play Witcher 3, we'd play it, but it might take a while.
I would love to play that.
Yeah, that might take a while. we might need a couple of months to be able to do that, to be able to put an episode out to do it justice. And, you know, I guess in the asterisk too, we would reserve the right to say no to a game, but I have a very hard time imagining there could be a game we'd want to say no to.
Yep.
But, you know, just in case.
Yeah, none comes to mind for me.
Yeah, nothing comes to mind. But yeah, if you'd like to be a producer, $150 one time, and we will play a game and review it and say you are our inspiration. So, and then our last tier, this is our executive producer tier. This would be a one-time donation of $350. If you do this, then we'd be buying a PS4 for Jordan.
Yep.
Which would be great. This would allow us, then cross-platform wouldn't matter. We could just play a bunch of PS4 exclusives if we want, or I guess if you want. And if you do this, we'd credit you as a producer on PS4 games in general and say, you know, this game was played on PS4 and brought to you part by Steve. Thanks, yeah. Steve. You know, something like that. And also, we'd give you the producer bonus, so you could choose one game for us to play, same as the last one. But yeah, that would be a huge help. We'd appreciate that if you want to do that. So that's executive producer, one time, $350. We'd use it to buy a PS4. So those are our three tiers that we've got for Patreon. If you like our podcast and want to help support the cost it does to help run it, we'd really appreciate that. That would mean a lot and help out a lot. And then, again, tomorrow we're going to release an episode on the adaptations we'd like to see. So same place you get your podcast now. It'll be there. So look out for that. And I guess that, yeah, that covers the news. Thanks for support you do otherwise. You know, non-monetary support. We really appreciate all of that. But if you would like to support us financially, we would appreciate that.
Sure. Yeah, definitely. I guess, yeah, jumping into Life is Strange 2, Episode 4, called Faith. Starts out, and you're gravely wounded in Humboldt County, California. Sean wakes in a hospital to find Daniel still missing. Under arrest and facing tough questions, Sean's options are few. Only quick thinking and unexpected allies can secure his freedom. Searching for Daniel under the scorching Nevada sun and through freezing desert nights, Sean must make his toughest choices yet. Puerto Lobos and the dream of freedom have never felt so far away. Will Sean's faith in Daniel be rewarded, or is the young wolf lost forever?
All right. So, to begin the episode, we see Sean and Daniel talking on a park bench. I think this was the park from episode one. It looked like it. And they're talking, and then Daniel says, "Come find me," and like walks off the cliff.
Yeah.
And then we recognize, oh, it's a dream.
Sean still has two eyes.
Yeah, Sean also has two eyes. So it's like, all right, this isn't real.
Yeah.
Yep. And he wakes up, and he's in the hospital. We find out that Sean's been in a coma for 2 months since episode 3 ended.
Crazy.
Yeah, which is wild. And I guess what's kind of cool with this, again, is that the game's time travels along with real life. I'm assuming that in the game it's around August also. You know, so I do kind of like that. Or maybe it's a little earlier, but, you know, it does seem like the game's time is pretty similar to our time presently. So that's kind of cool. I do like that. And when you wake up in the hospital bed, you can kind of look through your stuff you have if you want to. I did. Something that's there that is cool is you've got a couple letters. You've got a letter from Cassidy about what's gone on. You also have letters, a letter from your grandparents, and then a letter from Captain Spirit.
I had one from Finn, too.
Oh.
But it was really short.
Okay.
Kind of like, sorry. Yeah. I fucked up.
That's funny.
He's like, yes, you did.
Sean is dead, or not Sean. Finn is dead in mine, so I didn't get a letter from him.
Yeah, I got one.
So that was cool. I liked getting that. Like, even just this interaction with past characters this way is nice. Like, how we saw, like, Brody's website on an old one before, right?
Yeah.
And then maybe episode two or something. So
yeah.
I like that we've been able to kind of keep some of these characters we know and like even in a way like that, without mm-hmm. talking to them. Like, I did like that. Like, I'm glad we heard from Captain Spirit again. Did you read his letter?
Yeah.
Did he mention about, because he got hit by the car in yours,
right? Yeah, he said he was okay.
Oh, okay.
He's like, I'm doing fine, something. I forget exactly what it said, but okay. Yeah, he was okay.
Cool.
Yeah, not dead.
That's good.
Yep.
No, that's good. So we get that information. Then after that, Joey, who's our nurse, comes in to check on us. He tells us we're improving. We do like some vision test stuff because we have one eye. Mm-hmm. And there's a little bit where they make the eye patch vision.
Uh-huh.
So you only can sort of see.
Yeah, out of the left side, your vision's kind of, it's just gone.
Uh-huh.
For the most part.
Right. Says you're improving, and he seems pretty cool. Like, in talking with him, you already get this vibe that, like, this guy's cool and has been a pretty helpful caretaker for us.
Yeah, he seemed cool, too. Like, because he also recognized, okay, you're, like, under arrest, but it's kind of bullshit. Probably being another minority, he gets the... It's not just as everything as it seems, you know? Because he's, like, a black dude. He's real cool.
Right.
So it seems like, in some level, they bonded over, like... being kind of oppressed, maybe, in some ways. And not, like, in these super crazy ways, but...
No, sure.
He's like, this is bullshit. Like, you didn't do anything. You're a good kid. Whatever.
Right. Yeah. I agree. That was cool. After this agent from the FBI comes in to question you. And she kind of sucks. I didn't like her
very much. Yeah, she's not. I also didn't like the dialogue responses you could have here. It was either really hostile or, like... yeah, because she, like, questioned about the robbery, and in my game, I wanted no part of it.
Right.
And I feel like that wasn't really... You couldn't really make that clear. It was like, hey, I showed up to stop it, actually, right. Not participate.
Yeah, you weren't able to be as clear as you'd want to be. Like,
yeah.
It was weird. It seemed like you had to be hostile or, like, tell her Daniel has powers almost.
Yeah, or, like, or blame shift, which...
Yeah.
But not really explain.
Right.
It was kind of annoying.
Yeah, that wasn't great. So she asked you who planned the robbery for me. I said it was Finn, but it was crazy because she shows up with a folder and there's a picture of dead Finn. Like,
yeah, and mine it was alive Finn, but...
Yeah, mine had a picture of dead Finn, so it was a picture of him, like, shot on the ground.
Hmm.
She was like, who did it? And I was like, well, it was Finn, which it really was, but also he's dead, so, like...
I ratted him out for sure.
Yeah, I would have ratted him out if he was alive, but...
Like, it was you, bitch. Like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So...
I had the same thing. I blamed it on him.
Yeah, so that was kind of crazy, and then you could, like defend Cassidy, which is what I did.
Yeah, same.
And then I think there was something else. But, so she talks to you, she's talking the whole, like, oh, we're the police, and we want to help you, and it's like, it really doesn't seem like it, you know, like, kind of thing,
You don't want to help us. Also, at this point, we know we're going to jail.
Right.
Tomorrow.
Right.
So, it's kind of like, you don't really want to help.
Right.
You just want to get all the information you can, and then send me to jail.
Right. So that's not great. We finish our interview with her. Joey comes back to finish up his test, and he gives you a sketchbook. He, like, smuggled your sketchbook in somehow.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
He, like, puts it on a towel, and he's like, oh, there's a present for you there. All right, mm-hmm. See you, Sean.
Yeah.
And you're like, all right, cool. And you go to it, and you start looking through your sketchbook, which is cool, but then you find a note from Jacob from last episode that says, hey, I've got Daniel. We, like, left, like, because it sounded like everything was really bad, so yeah. We jetted.
It went to Nevada.
Right.
And if you don't remember, which I didn't, Jacob was, like, the weird, not weird, he was kind of weird, but he's, like, the Christian guy, or, like, true believer, as he puts it, from the pot farm. Right. He was, like, finding himself. You don't really know much about him.
Right.
So he's the one who took Daniel back to Nevada.
Right, because out of all your pot farmer friends, like, they were all more, like, hippie-y, and then he was, like, almost like a good kid trying to find himself.
Yeah.
Sort of attitude.
Yeah.
And he was nice, but, like, you're kind of like, all right. But we saw this note, and we're like, oh, cool, we actually know where Daniel is. Like, because mm-hmm. the police can't find him, no one knows where he is, but we're like, oh, we do. And so we decide, okay, well, if we know where Daniel is, we should get to him before the police do. Mm-hmm. So I got to break out of this hospital because I don't want to go to jail tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So this sets us on our course, kind of our first big choice that happens in the game. Again, the way Life is Strange 2 has been is there's a lot of choices, and some are big and some are small, and you don't quite, you know, you get the thing where the you get two obvious choices or something where the screen like freezes, but mm-hmm. But there's enough of them that you're not sure which ones are the biggest.
Yep.
Always. Unlike in the first game where there was only five that were super obvious or whatever.
Yep.
So our first one is, okay, escaping the hospital. And you end up with four primary choices as to how to do this. The first one is you can escape the hospital without hurting anyone. 57% of people did this, including Jordan.
Yep.
You can convince Joey to help you escape. 5% of people did this, including me. You attack Joey to escape the hospital. 2% of people did this.
That's fucked up.
Yeah, that is messed up. And then the last one, you attack the guard to escape the hospital. 36%. There's a guard that's outside of your room who is watching you to make sure nothing happens.
Mm-hmm.
So those are your options. For me, I convinced Joey to help me escape.
How did that go?
It was weird. I felt kind of bad doing it.
Really?
But, I mean, I'm glad I got a 5% choice. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's surprising.
That feels cool.
Yeah.
I don't know what, like, I did that made that work, but I do like that. So I talked to him, and I'm like, hey, man, I need to escape. Can you help? And he's like, dude, what the fuck? I've got a job. I could, like, get fired or arrested.
Yeah, fair question. Fair, like, response.
Yeah, fair response. And I'm like, oh, please? Joey's like, God damn it. All right, man. Here's what we're going to do. Hit me on the head and then run out and you'll be good. So what I did was I like put like some sheets on the bed to make it, I think, look like I was there.
Yeah, I did.
Then Joey walks in and then I use the bathroom thing.
Yeah, the towel hanger.
The towel hanger. Then I hit Joey on the side of the head with it.
You actually hit him?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I felt real bad. Because you hit him harder than you're supposed to, and he's like, dude, fuck, man. And he's like, you hit him, like, on the side of his head. And I was like, oh, my God, am I going to actually, like, kill you? Like, he was fine, but he was like, fuck, man, get out of here. Like, fuck.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to hit me that hard.
Yeah.
Because he was like, if you, like, tap me, I'll bruise because the side of your head's so sensitive.
Uh-huh.
That it'll look like it. But I accidentally whacked him. Which I felt bad about.
Oops.
Yeah, oops. But then after that, I ran down the hallway, snuck down the hallway because the guard was asleep.
Oh, nice.
So what it looks like is that Joey comes in, I sneak up behind him, I hit him, guard's asleep, and then I sneak out. And then I went to a car and then drove that away.
Okay. Gotcha.
What was yours?
Yeah, mine how'd yours was, yeah, end so up? Mine, I didn't do that with Joey. I felt, yeah, kind of bad. I was like, I'm not going to jeopardize your job.
Right.
So, yeah, I used the towel, the rack thing, and then I pried open the window. And then you can, like, get outside the window and shimmy over to, like, the scaffolding. And then you get inside this construction area.
Mm-hmm.
You're, like, rebuilding a room. And then you get your backpack and kind of sneak away because the guard's asleep, too.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah, no one kind of knows.
Weird. Actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I was on the scaffolding, too. But I don't know why. Like,
huh.
maybe Sean must have went down like a flight of stairs onto the scaffolding.
Cause
I didn't go out the window.
Yeah.
Because I checked the window before I found the metal thing, and it was like, oh, it's locked. And so I was like, okay, shit, I gotta find another way out.
Yeah.
And I didn't put together that I could break the window open that, or like, you know, pry it open that
yeah.
way.
Yeah. It was oddly easy to break out of it.
Okay.
Huh. I mean, you just like. So there's like a really small like window lock. You like just pry it open and it pops off.
Oh.
Which I don't know if that's how they would actually do it if you're a prisoner in a hospital. I assume they would have like special rooms for
yeah, that's true.
Prisoners like with actually like with bars. I don't know. I don't know about it. But yeah, I was like, man, this is really easy. I could do this.
Right.
And commit a murder and get away.
Right.
Not that Sean murdered anyone, but you know, I don't know. It was pretty easy.
No, that's yeah. And then on my scaffolding. As I was going down, I saw Merrill in the hospital. He was in, like, the floor or two below me.
Yeah.
Which, I didn't talk to him. I don't think I even had the option, but I was like, oh, fuck that guy, and then kept going.
Yeah, I saw Finn, because he was live in mine. And I stopped and said, hey, and he was like, man, I'm really sorry. It's my fault, all this shit. And I was like, it's cool, man.
Okay.
So we kind of buried the hatchet and moved on.
That's good.
Yeah.
I saw one where someone was mean to him.
Yeah.
And they were like, fuck you, Finn. And Finn was like... sad.
Yeah, and, yeah, kind of his fault.
It is his fault. Like, I get it. I was just like, oh, this feels mean. I'm glad I didn't have to deal with it, kind of, because, like, I'm not glad Finn is dead, but mm-hmm. I was sort of glad for some of these things here that he was dead, because it was easier to blame him. Like, because I didn't, it was like, he's dead.
And
it's true. It's true, but he's also dead.
Yeah, I felt torn. I was like, this is the last time I'm going to see you. I'm not going to be a dick. You already know what you did. You're in a hospital.
Right.
You're
going to go to jail too, presumably.
Yeah, he's already, they already know he staged a robbery and all this shit. So I was like, all right, I don't need to rub this in, even though I kind of want to.
Right. No, that's good. That's probably a good way to do that.
I guess so.
Yeah. Clara on Twitter wrote in. She said that she went out the window. I was determined not to hurt anyone. I tried to get Joey's help, but he said no.
Chris on Twitter says, ninja'd my way out through the window. That's what I did, too.
That's awesome. Chris on Twitter said, pulled out the towel hanger and pried open the window.
Games and Groceries on Twitter said, towel hanger and busted window guard. Oh, yeah, that's what I did, too.
Yeah. Adam on Twitter, I snuck out without anyone's help or knocking out the guard, just pried the window open and slunk over the scaffolding. I didn't talk to Finn on the way out since it's all his fault I was here in the first place.
Yeah, it's basically me, but I talked to him.
Fair.
Nikki on Twitter says, I got the window open with the bar from the shower, decided against asking the nurse dude because I didn't want him to get in trouble and absolutely didn't want to mess with the guard. Also, exiting through the window seemed fitting since I decided for the staircase on the drawing.
And then Liz on Twitter said, I chose the window.
And lastly, Melanie on Twitter said, shimmied out the window after prying it open with the rail from the bathroom. Was planning on planning to go out the door, but woke the guard up, so the window seemed the best choice. Yeah. So it seems like, yeah, most of the people
did the
window route, which would add up with the percentage.
No, yeah. And I think if I would have thought about it, I wouldn't have asked Joey to do that. Like, I feel kind of bad. I mean, yeah. I'm glad he, like, accepted. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, he's a cool fucking dude.
That, for whatever reason, whatever our relationship algorithm worked out as, that he liked, yeah. He liked me enough to want to do something like that.
Yeah.
But I don't like that I, like, put him in danger. Like, that feels bad. Mm-hmm. I would have rather just snuck out the window and, like, been free of that. And
yeah.
That he's not to blame or, like... I'll be really sad if, like, next episode I find out I got fired or arrested or something. Like, that would suck.
Yeah, and I guess it was kind of sad I didn't get to say goodbye to him. But, I mean, that's probably better than him getting hit in the face.
Right.
But also, too, he's probably not in jeopardy of his job because we've just escaped. Right. I bet that guard is probably going to get fired.
Right. The guard's probably in trouble no matter what. I mean, except maybe if you hit him, maybe he wouldn't be in trouble then. I mean, he shouldn't be able to get taken out by a teenager, but like...
Yeah, like a 17-year-old kid. Right. Or maybe 18, I forget how old Sean is at this point, but... Yeah, I guess it's also good, too, to not commit any more crimes. Like...
Right.
I mean, I guess you're running away from police, which is bad, but you're not assaulting anyone.
Right. Yeah, that was the thing I was kind of thinking. Yeah. I was like, do I want to commit crimes? Add it to the list, but they don't believe me because, like, magic essentially made the last one happen, yeah, and they think I killed a cop.
Yeah.
So it's like...
Which is... They should know from the scene you didn't kill a cop, because remember the car was flipped over and all that shit?
Right. Like,
there's no way anyone could do this.
Right, what do you think I did?
Yeah.
Yeah. So after this, we're driving to Nevada in the car. We get some cutscenes of just driving. And Sean pulls over because he's super tired, and you can kind of look through the stuff you have and like, oh, I'm sorry, I stole your car, lady, like different things like that.
Yeah.
Whatever. Then you decide to go to bed. While you're sleeping, you have a dream of driving the car with Esteban, which was cool to see him. And you're talking with him. He seems like he's a cool dad, and either they are... This was either a road trip that happened when Sean got his license, or maybe it was a road trip they were planning to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not quite sure which one it was, but like if this was a real memory that he dreamed about, or if it was something that they were planning to do that hadn't happened yet. Sean's talking with Esteban. Esteban's like trying to know about his life more and stuff like that. It's nice.
Mm-hmm.
Then we get a call from Lila, who's babysitting Daniel, and we get to talk to both of them a little bit. And, yeah, it was cool. I think, again, similar to the letters, I like this as a way to get characters from the past involved.
Mm-hmm.
And even with Daniel here, because, you know, this episode could bring anything. Is Daniel... Are we going to find him at all this episode? Like,
yeah, I wouldn't... wasn't sure we would.
Right. And so it was, like, cool, because I kind of was like, are we going to get a Sean on the road episode for like a long time. It'd been cool. Could have happened, you know. So that was cool as a way to get that. But we are a weekend while we're sleeping in the car to banging on the window.
Two rednecks.
Yeah, two racist fuckheads
yep.
show up and start banging on the door. They're harassing Sean, kind of being like, what are you doing sleeping on our land? And
beaner.
Yeah. One of them called him a beaner. So they're like being aggressive, and Sean's like, oh, I'll just leave. I'm sorry. I didn't see the sign. Like, I was just so tired I had to pull over. And then it becomes more clear that one of them is kind of the primary fuckhead.
Yeah.
The other one, I would say still sucks because he's there.
Yep.
But is not the same as the first guy.
Yeah, not as aggressive.
Not as aggressive.
But also racist, but still very racist.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, so in this too, I got like punched by him, and then there's a couple times he like wanted me to speak in Spanish for him, like, this is not my country.
Right.
I'm a thief. Something, I forget what else.
Yeah.
But I didn't do it. And he wanted me to sing. I was like, no, fuck you.
Okay, so you just got your ass beat.
Yeah, I said no to everything. So I'm not going to play your game. And then he punched me in the face and like kicked me a couple times.
Okay.
And then the other guy like was like, all right, this is done. Come on. And then they let me go.
Okay.
But yeah, I was like, I'm not playing your games.
Did they break that toy then?
No.
Did you, what happened when they took it from you? So they took your backpack and Daniel's like Etch-a-Sketches in there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I tried to get it. I stood up and tried to get it back, then he just hit me in the head. He just punched me in the face.
Oh, okay.
And that was it.
Okay.
Yeah, they didn't break it, as far as I know.
Oh, okay. I think they do in some of them. They didn't break it for me either, but...
Yeah.
So, right, they're, like, really coming after you, especially the one guy, Chad, which is, fitting.
Classic, yeah.
Yeah, fitting. A fuckhead named Chad.
That's fucking... stupid.
Yeah. So they're like really coming after you, and you're like, come on, man, like, just let me leave. And they're like, oh, do you have drugs? And you're like, for my eye.
Like, yeah, it's like, come on, dude.
Yeah, in mine, the Chad like keeps coming after you. He's being a douche. And the way I played it was kind of like, I didn't respond to a lot of the things. Like, I just didn't choose an answer or was more passive. And so what happened for me is actually the friend started being like, dude, come on, Chad, it's over, like, let him leave, he's a kid, like, whatever. And Chad's like, no, we gotta make him speak Spanish and all that shit. I didn't get beat up at all. I didn't respond to almost everything. I finally sang at the end because I thought he'd fuck me up, so I did sing. I sang, and so Sean sang something in Spanish. It was super sad.
Was not going to do that.
Yeah, I was just like, I don't know how beat up I can get. Like, I'm already fucked up. That was kind of my thought there. It was like, I tried to just not say anything to see if I could kind of wiggle out of it. And then it got to that one. It was like, okay, he's going to fuck me up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do this. So I did, and then kind of finally like, fine, get the fuck out of here, and we leave, and... Then Sean's screaming and crying while he's driving the car fast away.
Yeah, that happened in mine too.
Yeah, which I thought was... It felt right. Like, it felt accurate to that moment to me when I'd had that happen. Because I was like, I'm trying not to engage. I'm trying not to engage. And then I got humiliated. Like, I felt like I could feel Sean's hurt there. So that was... I thought a good job by Life is Strange 2 displaying that part. But, yeah, fuck those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Total fuckheads.
Yep.
They're not like them at all. and fuck that there's real people that exist like that.
I know.
Like, these guys, I think we were in Nevada at this point, but people who were like, oh, I'm like a vigilante border security person or something like that. It's like, you're a fucking douchebag.
Yeah.
Fuck you. Like,
just a racist dick.
Yeah. Yeah. Fuck that. Yeah. Fuck those guys.
Obviously, Sean's clearly American. Like,
speaks
perfect English. I mean, not that it really matters, but like, he was, yeah, at one point they're like, how you say this is not my country in Spanish? And I was like, this is my fucking country.
Right.
Like, I was born here.
Right.
I'm a citizen. Fuck you.
Right, yeah. Fuck
even that. Even if I wasn't, you don't deserve this kind of treatment. Like.
Right. Fuck those guys. Yeah.
So you don't see him again, which is probably good.
Yeah, I'm glad. Yeah, fuck those guys. After this, your car ends up running out of gas while you're still driving to New Haven? Or Haven Point?
Yep, New Haven. Haven Point.
I think it's Haven Point. It's I Haven wrote Point. Down New Haven by mistake.
Yeah, it's Haven Point.
Haven Point, right. But your car runs out of gas, so you ditch it. And so then you're just walking through the desert. It's hot as fuck. You're, like, walking slow. You, like, hide under the shade to, like, get a respite. Like, it's messed up. Then you keep walking, and a semi-truck pulls up and, like, honks and stops to let you get in or not.
Did you get in?
I did.
I did, too.
Yeah.
I was kind of hesitant, though.
Oh, yeah, me too.
I was like, truckers are kind of weird, probably.
That's what I was concerned.
Teenage boy.
Yeah.
You try to rape me? Like,
yeah.
And after the last interaction with people around here, they're racist.
Like, ass, gas, or grass.
Yeah.
That's what I was afraid of. It's like something like that.
I got nothing.
Right.
So I guess I got one thing.
Yeah, I was concerned a thing like that could happen. I was playing, and my wife, like, got home from work while I was playing this part, and I was like, man, I hope something weird doesn't happen.
Yeah, seriously.
Like,
what are you playing?
Like, right.
I don't know at this point.
Why is this trucker trying to make you suck his dick?
Yeah.
Something like that. That's what I was, like, kind of concerned
yeah.
with. But I was like, we might really die in the, like, we really probably could die in the desert like that. Like,
yeah, it seems
I'm going to roll the dice
yep.
that people are good.
That's what I thought, too.
Fortunately, we were rewarded with that.
Especially because it was an hour away in car.
Mm-hmm.
So, 4 hours walking, maybe more, depending on how slow you go.
Right.
Like, he didn't have that much water left.
Right.
So, yeah, I was like, there's not really a choice here. It's
yeah, it felt like you kind of
either
had to.
Fight this guy off if he's weird.
Right.
Get a free ride and food, which he was a cool dude.
No, yeah.
Or die in the desert, yeah.
Yeah, it ended up being really great, which was cool. It is Life is Strange, bucking expectation. I was a little
yeah.
worried more bad would happen after that, dealing with those racists, but
yep.
said this guy was really cool. He was like, what's going on? Like, oh, my wife made the sandwich. Do you want it? And
yeah,
like, okay.
So I was like, huh.
Your wife, huh?
Yeah.
You have a wife? I'm not sure. I don't believe you yet, but we'll see. No, right. Or like,
the sandwich drugged?
Do you want to go to sleep? And you're like,
Yeah, I know. There's so many times. Like, you're trying to set me up, man.
No, I think that they played it really right, because
yeah.
my suspicions felt all that way, and then instead, it was like, oh, he did, like, a bunch of nice stuff and took us where we need to go.
Yep,
thanks, guy.
And then told us that the church was really weird.
Yeah, and he was like, hey, just heads up, it's weird. And you're
yeah,
like, cool, thanks.
Good to know. And it sure was.
It sure was, yes.
Yep, fuck those people.
Yeah, so we arrive at Haven Point at the church, and we get there, and there's a little girl outside coughing with her dad. He seemingly took her out of the service so she wouldn't be allowed in there, and then he kind of was like, welcome, like, all people are welcome here, thanks for coming to Haven Point Church, or
mm-hmm.
whatever, and you're like, okay, cool,
yeah.
And we, like, peek in to try to go into the main room, but, like, service is in full session, so we're like, let's just go upstairs and
mm-hmm.
watch from there. So we go up to the top to watch down. There's this reverend lady who's preaching, and it's sort of weird. It's not full weird yet, but
mm-hmm.
it's a little bit weird, and you're like, I don't know, this isn't quite sitting right, but, like,
yeah,
you know, whatever. But then she's like, and we've got our God-delivered, our miracle-bringer, Daniel, and our prophet, miracle-bringer, Daniel. And Daniel comes out, and he's got a fucking bowl cut.
Yeah, looking like a bitch.
Yeah, and he looks weird. Like, when he came out, I was like, is he fucking brainwashed? Like,
mm-hmm.
that's what I thought from the pew up there, or the upper pew thing.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, what the hell? And then they keep talking, and you're like, okay, this is a cult.
Yep, 100%.
This is a fucking cult. Like, as they kept talking, you're like, okay, this shit's weird.
Yeah, because she keeps talking about how, like, oh, I was, God gave me this sign or this miracle of Daniel, like, put faith in me,
yeah.
give us money. I was like, okay, I see.
Right.
I see where you're going with this.
Yeah.
You're using Daniel to get money.
No,
fuck you.
Right. All of it was put faith in me. Like,
yep.
God blessed me, so put your faith in me. Or,
yep.
like, I don't know if it, I don't think it was in this interaction, but there's a part later where it's like, oh, the reverend can't sin. She's, like, perfect. Or
yeah.
like, it's
like, ooh.
You're like, you fucker. Like,
yeah, you're a piece of shit.
You cult fuck.
Yep.
Yeah.
We find out a lot more later.
Yeah.
For sure, cult.
Yeah, as it keeps going. But
yep.
there's all these things, and it's like, red flags galore. Like, I'm like, no.
Yeah, get him out of there.
We got to save him. So you really feel that. They say Daniel's a miracle. He doesn't do anything here, right? I don't think he... or does he lift something?
He lifts a cross.
That's right. He lifts the cross. So then they're like, and our prophet Daniel.
Yeah.
And then you see the cross on the wall, like, shake off, and it's just in air, and everyone's...
freaking out.
Everyone's freaking out. They're like, praise the Lord, and all this shit. Everyone's caught up in the frenzy.
Yep.
So it ends. We're, like, hanging out up there after it ended, kind of, like, trying to take it in. We're like, fuck, he's in a cult.
Yeah, this is bad.
This is bad, yeah. Yep. And the little girl from before, who was coughing that we saw on the way in, comes up. And she starts talking to us. We find out it's Jacob's sister.
Mm-hmm.
She's really friendly. I liked her a lot.
Yeah, she was cool.
And she's friends with Daniel. And she's like, oh, yeah, Daniel, like, he talks about you all the time and blah, blah, blah. And so that was nice, like, seeing her. And so we were like, hey, could you, like, take us to him? So she does. And so we go down to the main room. And it's us and her.
And Daniel.
Daniel and the Reverend.
Yeah.
And
that's it at this point.
Yeah, I think that's everyone that's here. And it's weird.
Yep.
Like, on one hand, you have Daniel being like, oh my god, Sean, I'm so happy to see you. And it feels like normal.
Mm-hmm.
But then while we're talking, it's also, like, weird. And you sense, like, sort of being brainwashed.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, because you're, like, talking to Daniel, and, like, the Reverend keeps chiming in every time you ask him a question or say something. It's like, all right, let him speak for himself. Like,
right.
Yeah, it was very clear she was, like, pulling the strings. Right. Directing conversation or whatever. And then at one point she sends Daniel and I think her name is Sarah Lee.
So, yeah, that's her name.
Back into the, like, the back room. And then you're, like, talking and she's terrible. And then she's, like, grabs you and you kind of, like, barely push her. And then she, like, falls on the ground right when Daniel comes back out. It's a big scam. And her, like, nose is bleeding. And it's like, what the fuck?
Right.
Like, I barely touched you. And then Daniel's, like, pissed. And it's, yeah.
Yeah.
Very manipulative.
Super manipulative. Yep. Right. Yeah, because when it's there, Daniel's like, oh, I want to, like, I want to talk with Sean. I want to catch up. And she's like, no, you need to take care of this thing.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, okay, I'll do that.
Yeah.
And we're kind of like, dude. And also, you can choose to be pretty aggressive here, like, no, you're coming now or not. So I tried to play it low-key because I was like, okay, maybe we're going to have to sneak him off, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I tried to play it low-key, but then she did the fall thing.
Yep.
Like that. And I was like, oh, this bitch. Like,
yeah, fuck her.
Yeah.
God, I hated her so much.
Yeah, I did not like her either. Yeah, she does the fake fall. Daniel comes in. She's like, what happened? And she's like, oh, Sean pushed me.
Yeah.
And we're like, no, we didn't.
Yeah.
But Daniel believes her. And then I forget this guy's name, but it's her henchman, essentially.
Yeah.
He's kind of like
he's the muscle.
Yeah, he's the muscle of the cult.
Yeah.
God, fuck this guy. Yeah. And he, like, puts us in, like, a chokehold, which is crazy. Like, Daniel sees this, and we're in this chokehold. He's like, get out and stay out. And he, like, throws us outside of the compound's fence. Mm-hmm. And we, like, look back, and we're like, dude, what the hell? And then he flashes his gun.
Yeah.
And we're like, this fuckhead.
Yeah, he's, like, in Nevada, I'm, like, legally allowed to, like, defend my property. Come in here again, I'm going to shoot you. It's like,
yeah,
fuck you.
Yeah.
If I had a gun, I'd shoot you right here, motherfucker.
Yeah. So that's, like, hardcore. We're, like, thrown out and we're on the ground and we're just, like, looking. He says that. And he walks back in after the gates closed. And then we hear a voice that says, hey, Sean, we're not going to get him back like this. Come with me. And we turn and boom, it's Karen, our mom.
Fucking Karen.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Very surprised.
Yeah. I was shocked that she showed up right here.
Yep.
I figured she'd show up in the game sometime.
Mm-hmm.
I'd
figure it'd be, like, the last episode we were, like, deciding, do we go to Mexico or do we go back to Karen?
Yeah.
That's where I thought it would be.
Or if she ended up being the priest, or the reverend or something.
Oh, that'd be,
like,
crazy.
Like, that'd been pretty wild. Oh, man. Like,
I'd be so confused about what to do.
Yeah, no, totally. Like, if something like that happened, but instead she's this person, so that was pretty wild. So, Karen shows up, and she tells us to come with her. We go back to her hotel room to make a plan because she wants to get Daniel back. We find out that Jacob had sent her a letter asking for help. So she'd gotten the P.O. box number from Daniel from before. And she was. So Jacob took Daniel back to the compound because this was the church he was a part of
mm-hmm.
before he ran away to find himself. And in the chaos of, oh my gosh, like, Finn and Cassidy and John are all dead maybe. Like, he just ran,
yeah,
and he went back home.
Which is, like, makes sense. Like, couldn't fault him for that.
No, right. I think that, like, if your world's chaotic like that, and the only thing you know, even if it's not a good thing, I can see going back. I could see Jacob doing that. It makes a lot of sense.
Yep.
And wanting to keep Daniel safe. Like, that seemed like a legitimately...
That was, like, his main motivation, I think.
Positive motivation. Like, it wasn't sketchy. I think he was legitimately trying to do the right thing.
Yeah, and as you find out later, he's definitely not into the church.
Right. Or,
sorry, the cult. Like,
yeah.
He helps you kind of bring it down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
He ends up being an ally. So he lets Karen know, and so she's kind of like, all right, fuck, I got to do something now, because, like, these boys are in real, real danger.
Mm-hmm.
And in the letter, he said, I don't know where Sean is, he's missing, kind of thing. So it's like, she's like, all right, I should check this out. Like, so that's cool that she finally chose to do something, I guess, like, since she's been AWOL for 8 years or something. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. A long time.
7, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a long time that they'd not seen her. So I don't know. I thought that was good. So Karen and Sean end up talking and have, like, the talk. So why'd you leave and stuff like that? And what you get is that she left because she's selfish, basically.
Yep.
She was like, you know, I just was never cut out to be a mom or a wife. And mm-hmm. that pressure got to me so much that I decided I'm out. I don't want to do that anymore. It was, like, crazy how, like, open and raw that was.
Yep.
Hearing it to me, I was like, you are horrible.
Yep. Yep. I had a lot of problems with her.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess our next decision, like, I'll say what I think about that, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, that conversation was kind of difficult.
Yeah. So, I guess this probably does end up pushing it towards the next decision, because some of the other stuff happens after, but you end up talking with Karen, and you can kind of decide how it goes, and then decide how you keep it going after that. So, mm-hmm. I guess, yeah.
Yeah, I'll go. So, yeah, you have a few options here. You can, as she's talking with you, just kind of cut the conversation, be like, we're done here, whatever. Or you can... kind of be mean to her or give her a hard time or ask really hard questions, respond poorly, I guess, whatever. Or you can kind of, like, overall let her open up to you and kind of be civil, reach an agreement. I don't know, something like that.
Sure.
So 4% of people cut the conversation short. 2% were hard on her, which was me. And then 94% kind of tried to let her open up or, you know, get on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I can speak for myself first. Yeah, as she was talking, I was like, man, fuck you. Like, she kept saying things like, I had no choice, I had to leave. Things right. like that. I was like, no, okay, no, we're not doing this. Like, you left two kids, your husband, because you didn't want to be a mom. And you felt like the call to go adventure. I'm like, I don't fucking care.
Right.
Yeah, so I thought it was all BS. I was like, no, you're going to hear what I think because... you left, you chose to leave. Mm-hmm. I don't care how you want to say it, but or like what you want to call it, or why you even left. It doesn't really matter to me, to be honest.
Right.
Like you left, and it's not cool.
Right.
So that's kind of... I mean, if I could have been meaner, I would have been meaner, to be honest, in the dialogue, but didn't have the option.
Right.
So, yeah, I was like, as hard as I can go, I'm going to go.
No, that makes sense. That's how I felt, but I responded... by wanting more. Because I think that was probably more of a me thing than a Sean thing. Mm-hmm. I think Sean would probably do that, what you did. But I wanted to kind of hear it, so I just kind of kept asking questions and wanting mm-hmm. to know more.
Yeah.
Was kind of the way I went with it. Because I wanted to hear. I'm like, all right, what the hell happened? Like, you know, you've just been gone.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely asked some questions, but when she started answering with, like, I had no choice, I was like, no, we're done here. Like,
right.
That's all I needed to hear.
Right.
Done.
Yeah. No, that's true. So then from this, you can have this conversation with her. It gives you, you end up being able to, like, smoke with her if you want, or sit with her while she smokes and can engage further there.
Mm-hmm.
You, what you end up kind of settling on is... you're like, fine, I have to work with you to, like, be able to get Daniel back. Is that what yours does, too?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So mine was probably a little more positive, where I heard her out a little more, but it was like, well, I can't do this alone, so I guess it's you.
Yep.
You know? And yours was probably a more angry version of that.
Yeah, but, yeah, it ended with that. I think kind of how it ended was like, well, you can either... I think it ends with that no matter what you do.
Sure.
But it was like, you can kind of trust me now, and we can get Daniel back, or... you cannot, and whatever,
right.
And I was like, fine.
Yeah, so I ended up spending the time, I decided to smoke with her, And then I also let her change my eye bandage.
I didn't do that. Didn't even have the option to do that.
That makes sense, I guess, by being hard.
Yeah.
Mine, she like asked, and she's like, do you want help with that? And I was like, sure. Because actually something earlier in the game is they, Joey tells you like how to do the eye patch.
Mm-hmm.
Or clean it. And he's like, oh, you use these two things, then you do those ones. I was worried you'd have to remember them. And if you get them wrong, it'd fuck your eye up.
It didn't happen,
but I was worried. And I was like, well, Karen does it, that would help. And but what I got by kind of being open to her is there were a little bit of more mom things, quote unquote. She was like, like Sean says, oh, I remember we went to camping at this one place and it was just us and blah, blah, blah. So you did get to share a couple of nice memories that they did once have, which made you sad for the life they have now.
But even that's like, man, that...
No, right, it's too late.
But also, like, those memories couldn't have been that good for her. She wouldn't have left. Like,
right.
I don't know.
No, what she did was very bad.
Yeah, and I know you're not saying it's not.
No, right.
I didn't want to hear, like, yeah, the minute she was like, oh, I feel like society was, like, telling me what I had to do, and I don't want to do it. I'm like, well, you shouldn't have kids then, sorry. Like,
right.
Mm.
Yeah, no.
Bummer for you.
Yeah, ditching like that's not cool. Yeah,
fuck off.
Yeah, there's not a excuse.
Yeah.
There. Chris on Twitter, in regards to this, said that it was civil. Sean asked questions and expressed his anger. He shared a smoke break with her, and she helped with his eye. Honestly, I thought Sean was going to cry when she was helping.
Alyssa on Twitter says they bonded a bit.
Games and Groceries on Twitter said I had her open up to me in full. She even offered to help with bandages, which I accepted.
Adam on Twitter said we had a bit of a tense conversation, but ultimately Sean listened to what his mom had to say. They also shared a smoke outside after they were done talking.
Melanie on Twitter said I was shitty to her, but I asked questions and outside bummed a cig from her. When it came to changing the dressing, I let her help me. Was thinking we needed to act as a team for our rescue mission, so I was trying to build bridges.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Nikki on Twitter says, did ask some questions, but then went the fuck that BS route. Same outside, but did ask for a cig. Sat forever in the moment of calm without actually realizing, waiting for the game to continue like a total idiot. Except for the help with the eye.
Chris said it went pretty neutral.
Claire on Twitter said, I tried to hear her out and be trusting for the most part, smoked together and had a nice moment. She offered to help me with the eye, but that was a bit too much for me, so I declined.
So it seems like kind of a variety of people were on there and how they approached it, whether it's we need to be teammates with Karen for this Daniel rescue mission or fuck you.
Yeah.
You suck.
Yep. That's my opinion.
Yeah, so we get that. So we hatched the plan with Jacob. We talk to him. We meet him at like a billboard outside of town. He tells us what had happened and gives us kind of the recap of leaving the pot farm. He tells us that he's going to help us break Daniel out, but he also wants help getting his sister out, Sarah.
Mm-hmm. So she's got, she has pneumonia, you find out.
Yeah. Jacob knows she's sick. We obviously know she was sick from when we saw her, and that he's saying that the Reverend like doesn't believe in medicine or something like that. God, and so
idiot.
She believes in prayer.
Yeah.
Something stupid like that. Like
God, I hate the more this episodes go or the farther this episode goes, the more you're like, ah, fuck her.
Yeah.
And fuck the whole cult. Whatever.
Right. Yeah. She's...
They're not just a cult, they're like bad.
Right.
Bad.
Right. It's like at least minimum her and the henchmen. Like, those two are legitimately bad people. Maybe, like, Jacob's parents or other people in the cult, they might be okay people but are kind of brainwashed or something like that.
Misguided,
but,
yeah.
Yeah, something like that. But, yeah. They're the Reverend and the henchman guy, though. They're legitimately bad people.
Mm-hmm.
So, we decide to do that. Our plan is Jacob and Sean are going to sneak into the compound. We're going to break into the Reverend's house and be able to find files, because Jacob says that there's files on people in there. So we're like, okay, cool. Let's do it. And we get inside the house and we find the files, as Jacob had mentioned. And there's files on everyone there.
Yep.
It's like crazy. Like, it's it'd be like school records kind of thing. Like,
yep.
That's how many files.
Creepy.
Are. Yeah. Super creepy. Inside of it, we see, we take Jacob's sister's file. Inside her file is like her doctor visits, mm-hmm. which reveals, as you said, that she has pneumonia. But the Reverend says, no, we'll fix it through prayer.
We and don't she will worry. For sure die right. without getting medical treatment.
Right. Like, yeah, people yeah, die
so,
of pneumonia.
So Jacob's like, all right, let's get her out of there.
Let's get her out of here. This kind of validates my desire to steal her. And perhaps we can kind of expose the cult for what it is. Because mm-hmm. you know she needs medical treatment, but you're saying, no, we won't do that. We will yep. just pray or whatever. So as we sneak through the file too, or not the file, the her house also, we see that Daniel also lives there, and we look in his room. It's like weird, and or I guess we look in her room first. So we look in the Reverend's room. Mm-hmm. We see she's obsessed with Daniel's power. She has like a journal of like, we tried to do this, we tried to do that, yeah. like all this crazy stuff that she's like trying to make him something, mm-hmm. you know, into something. Then we go to Daniel's room, and it's like clear he's like brainwashed even more. Like his yeah. room doesn't have like toys or anything in it. She like makes him write Bible verses down over and over and over. Mm-hmm. Like different things like that. Like she's clearly just like trying to bend him to what she wants.
Yep.
It's bad. It's yep. gross.
100%.
Yeah. It sucks. Also, meanwhile, in this, Karen is on the walkie-talkie with us. So she's kind of giving us heads up like, hey, this person's here, or this person's there. So while we're inside the house, we get a call from her that says, henchman guy's coming.
Mm-hmm.
So we're like, okay, we need to hide.
And here, she gives the option of setting a diversion.
Yeah.
Like, she'll, like, do something or not. So I had her set a diversion for me.
What'd she do?
She set something on fire.
Oh.
Yeah, and it worked.
What'd she set on fire?
Building?
Is
I
it
forget
the,
which...
Is it the building you end up in or a different one?
No, a different one.
Oh, okay.
Maybe it's like there's like this big tower steeple thing, maybe? She sets on fire?
Okay.
But yeah, like it draws the guy away right when he's about to like find you.
Oh.
So he doesn't find you. He didn't find me.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I think I told her to set a diversion, but I fucked up and I got caught still.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so the dude like beats my ass.
Where were you hiding?
I fucked up. I tried to hide in the closet, but what's his face? Jacob didn't hide, and he wasn't, like, hiding, and so I was like, fuck, okay, the closet obviously doesn't work, because you didn't come in here with me or find a spot. So I went back out. Oh,
dude, I know what you're talking about. So I hid in the closet, too. This episode's kind of glitchy. There was, like, two instances where I got glitched out, kind of. But if you wait long enough, he'll hide behind the door.
Oh.
Yeah, it takes like a minute.
Yeah, it was a long time.
Yep.
He wasn't there, and I was like, okay, this must mean my spot's not good. So yeah. I came out, and I tried to find another one, but it was too late, and the dude came in and beat my ass.
Yep. Fuck. He beat your ass like 3 times this episode.
Yeah, I know. I was, ugh. So henchman,
fuck that guy.
Henchman beats my ass, and he like drags me to the main church room
mm-hmm.
where Daniel and the Reverend are. And then Karen, like, rendezvous with us while we're there. And so it's Sean and Karen trying to convince Daniel, like, Daniel, come back. Like,
mm-hmm.
this place isn't what you think it is. It's bad. It's not good. And the Reverend and the henchman, meanwhile, are like, the henchman's just kind of there being intimidating. Mm-hmm. But the Reverend's like, no, they're not your real family. Like, remember, I'm your real mom. Remember your actual mom. She's a floozy and, like,
yeah, God,
she just fucking left. Or, like,
yeah.
And then you're like, no, Daniel, I love you. I'm your brother. And she's like, he doesn't love you. Look at him. He's an unbeliever. Like, well, it's like a back and forth of this
mm-hmm.
for a while. And as it escalates back and forth, we start to plead with Daniel more. And we're like, Daniel, I'm not leaving without you. I love you. And then the henchman like beats our ass.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get up again and we say,
repeat
that or say something even more. And then we get beat up and this goes on for a while. I would say too much.
Yeah,
even.
Yeah, it should take, like, maybe once or twice.
Yeah, I felt like it was, like, 6 rounds, almost of it.
Yeah, it was a long time.
It was a while. So each time you, like, are trying to profess your commitment to Daniel Moore, and then you're, like, getting punched and shit like that, it escalates to the henchman puts a gun to your head.
Yep.
And is, like, leave. And the Reverend's like, shoot him.
Yeah, it's
shoot
crazy.
Shoot him. And we're like, Daniel, I love you. We need to go. I'm not leaving without you. guy, shoot me if you have to, kind of thing. And then it finally, like, snaps, and Daniel's like, ah, and he uses his power, throws the henchman, like, against the wall. Meanwhile, in here, too, the church has caught fire.
Yeah, because originally he, like, uses his power on Sean to, like, kind of push him back a little bit, and it pushes a candle against, like, a curtain.
Okay, that's how the fire started. Okay. Yeah. I was wondering how it started, because I was like, why are you... Because when the fire started, too, and the reverend's like, this is your fault, and I'm like, I don't know where this fire came from, but...
Yeah, but fuck off.
I didn't do this.
Yeah.
So, Daniel ends up knocking the henchman over. He comes to us, and we're like, beat the fuck up.
Yep.
Super bloodied and bruised and stuff, and Daniel's like, I'm sorry, Sean. Like, I didn't know. I was confused. And we're like, it's okay, buddy. Like,
yeah, let's get out of here.
Let's get out of here. And so we head out to leave with Karen. So three of us are, like, heading towards the door. And the reverend steps in the door to block our way and is like, you shall not leave. This church will burn with you. Like, that, this kind of shit.
Yeah. Like, what are you going to do?
Yeah. God. And so you can resolve this situation a number of ways. The first one is you can shoot her, Lisbeth, while Daniel was not hurting her. So you end up picking up the henchman's gun and you can just shoot her and go. 4% of people did this. You can let Daniel unleash his power on her while he's hurting her. 18% of people did this, including me. So just let Daniel kill her. You and Daniel can both spare her life. 71% of people did this, including you.
Yep.
And then you can choose to shoot her while Daniel's hurting her. 7% of people is this. So what kind of happens is you can arrive in this scenario. You can arrive, and then Daniel will, like, Darth Vader her and, like, lift her and hold her. And then you could just shoot her while he's holding her. That's kind of the options. So for me, my choice actually was not what I wanted.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So we, like, are leaving. Daniel, man, I'm a little forgetting the order, but I think it's Daniel did this. So we're, like, leaving, and I'm like, all right, move her out of the way. And so I had Daniel, like, try to move her, I think. And I think my options were have Daniel move her, like, in the air, or shoot her. And I was like, oh, I don't want to do either of those, so Daniel, move her. And I'm moving her because I wanted to just put her out of the way and then leave. And then the next choice I had was to shoot her or Daniel, let Daniel kill her. Or maybe tell Daniel not to kill her. And I told her not to, but he did it anyway. So I'm pretty mad that my choice ended up that way, because I'm that makes me think my end game.
Yeah, you're not set up well.
My end game isn't going to be what I want it to be now. Because I'm hoping Daniel will choose right. But he chose wrong. He killed someone, which I don't approve of.
She sucked, though.
I wanted more her to, like, I guess if she died in the church that burned, yeah, or just leaving her, like, I don't want to kill anymore. But instead, Daniel, like, snaps her neck with the force, and Karen's like, oh my god, and she's like horrified.
Yeah, which makes sense.
So, yeah, so mine is Daniel killed her, but I didn't want him to do that.
That's fair.
So,
yeah, mine was, so remember my options being right away was threaten her with a gun or have Daniel move her. It was like, Daniel, just move her. And then he just, like, pushes her out of the way and then busts open the door, and that was it.
Wow.
Yeah. And then you get outside and you see, like, her and the henchman, like, freaking out. She's really crying because the church is burning down. Like, yeah, fuck you. Everything you worked for is done.
Yeah.
Your cult's finished.
Yeah, fuck that. That's why I didn't want to kill her. It was like, hopefully the cult would be finished. I mean, it probably is a better world that she's not in it, but I didn't want to kill anyone. And, like, I thought Daniel would listen to me. Otherwise, maybe I would have shot her so that Daniel wouldn't kill more.
Yeah.
Like, if I would have known it would have worked that way. Because I don't want Daniel killing. Like, I would, like, because that almost seems like a mercy to shoot her if Daniel was going to kill her. Like,
yeah.
Maybe that's the right thing. I don't know.
Yeah. But at that point, you're, like, in kind of Daniel's pocket, you know?
Yeah.
You got to do what he, not what he wants, but clean up his mistake still.
Yeah. I was not happy with how that turned out.
That's fair.
I'm worried about episode 5. I feel like now the ending's going to be something, like, I'm going to try to do the right ending, and the wrong ending will happen because maybe I've been too easy on Daniel, and so he's a little crazy.
Yeah.
Like I let him kill the cougar before, like, things like that. And so I don't know. I'm a little concerned.
Yeah. Well, we'll find out.
Yeah. Triple B on Twitter wrote in, though, and said, Daniel killed that crazy bitch.
Yep, she deserved it.
Yeah.
Chris on Twitter said, popped a cap and hurt myself, and I don't regret it.
Chris on Twitter said, I shot that bitch up myself.
So far, we have a consensus.
Yes.
Clara on Twitter said, she survived, I believe.
So sure, her, she probably had your ending then.
Yeah.
Nikki on Twitter said, remember the mountain lion? What I didn't do back then, I did now. Who knew that such a gross sound could be so satisfying?
There we go.
Yeah.
Melly on Twitter said, I let Daniel go full death grip on her and never regrets that that woman was poison.
Then Adam on Twitter said, Daniel was convinced to go with us. After watching Sean get beat down a few times, I told Daniel to open the door, so he just moved her out of the way and blew the door open. So,
yeah, that's what I had, yeah.
So
nice. So most people killed her.
A lot of people.
She deserved.
Yeah, a lot of people killed her. And a couple people were like you, but mm-mm. Yeah, no love for this lady.
Yeah,
she's horrible.
Her. Yep, yeah. She sucks.
Yeah, fuck her. The episode, I guess after this, you end up going back to the sign where you were, Jacob and his sister reunite. You look kind of over the compound and you see it on fire.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's good. Episode ends.
I think you're in the car with your mom and Daniel and you're just kind of driving.
Yeah, you're just driving, so... Mm-hmm. Faith. Done.
Yep. See where we go.
So, I guess just heading to general thoughts about the episode. We talked a little bit on it, but one thing I really liked was Daniel being brainwashed by the cult. I thought that was done really well.
Yeah.
Seeing, you could sense his brainwashing or being confused. Like, there are parts where he's like, oh, I want to do this, and then she's like, do that, and he was like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Or, you could kind of tell there was, short circuits in his memory or thinking ability kind of thing, because mm-hmm. he's just been brainwashed. And I guess probably retrospectively, this traumatic event being right before it probably helps make him easier to brainwash.
Yeah, because they mentioned that a couple times, or, I think Jake did. He's like, he feels like he has to atone
mm-hmm.
for the shit he did back at the pot farm,
right?
Which would make sense that you'd feel like that,
right?
So yeah, it just kind of, she got to him right at the right time.
Yeah, so I thought that made sense. The one thing I didn't like with it was Sean getting beat up lasting as long as it would. Mm-hmm. I feel like if I was brainwashed, I think the reverend saying oh, Sean's a sinner, he needs to atone.
Yeah.
And believing that, I can see that. That makes sense. Or he's bad, he's not one of us. I can see that. The shunning or things like that. But seeing him actually get his ass beat physically.
Yeah.
That seems like that would snap you out quicker. Especially with Sean not being aggressive. If Sean was fighting back.
Yeah, he's just standing there.
Yeah. If Sean was swinging punches and then it's see, your brother's reckless. I could see that. That would make a lot of sense in the cult part. But if it's Sean says, Daniel, I want to take you from here. I love you. You're my brother. And then someone beats the fuck out of you. It's mm-hmm. The one beating the fuck out. You'd be oh.
That guy's wrong.
That guy's bad.
Yep.
Daniel or Sean's not doing anything wrong. Yep. You would think that would have snapped out a little sooner to the point versus having the gun at you.
Yeah.
That seemed like that maybe lasted a little long. And because they didn't kill Sean last episode, I knew they wouldn't this one. But if they would have shot him there to snap Daniel out, that would have been pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that was probably my biggest critique, too, is man, come on, Daniel, you already seem kind of hesitant to stay here. I mean, not fully, but it wouldn't take that much to get you out of it. After seeing your mom and,
Yeah.
It was five rounds of standing up, getting hit progressively more and, repeat.
Yeah, I think if those words are different things, it would have been okay, but
yeah,
just the physical beat, it's not normal that you see people physically harmed so much in that way, especially if it's that they're trying to tell you a thing and, I don't know.
Yeah.
It just didn't fit. And I guess related to that, I really didn't like the fire in the church. I thought that was really dumb. It's there's a curtain on fire. Why don't we put it out and continue this? I'm fine with the church being burnt down. I think that's cool. And as an endpoint, I would have liked getting to do that no matter what. If nothing happened and we leave and then Daniel's boom, fire church, I would have been down with that. But mm-hmm. that there's this small fire that's an accident that everyone's having this long conversation and a beating and stuff like that. And it's this place is on fire. I didn't like that. I like the result of the church being burnt down, but I didn't like the way they got there.
Yeah, I guess maybe what I would say to that. The Reverend, forget her name, the stupid lady.
Yeah.
She blamed it on Sean. So I guess ultimately if Sean's out of the picture and the church is burned down, but Daniel's like, okay, Sean is really bad. He burned our church down.
Mm-hmm.
I could see it maybe being beneficial for her.
Sure.
It gets burned down in the long run because then Daniel's like, oh, Sean's really bad. He like burned our church down to like, for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe, but yeah, I also, it does seem kind of extreme. Like,
just,
it
just
she saw it when it wasn't that big. Yeah, I was like, just pour some water on it and be done.
It just seems like she should have done it, or the henchman or Karen. Like, someone should have put this fire out while this thing is going on. Like,
yeah.
Or it should have never been there to begin with, and, you know, Daniel could light the church on fire as he's leaving or something. So that's fine, you know, like...
Yeah, or just blown it away somehow.
Yeah, like, I think the church being destroyed is fine and is good, a good thing. I'm glad it happened, but,
yeah,
like...
Fuck him.
But, yeah, I didn't like the execution there. I thought that was pretty weak.
That's fair.
I think they missed there.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess this kind of falls in line with this, but there's a lot of things in this episode that made me really angry. Like, this is probably the more... not even angry because it was, like, bad, but more like... Man, fuck these people, like, fuck these things happening. Like, mm-hmm. the racist redneck dudes from the desert, the cult as a whole trying to manipulate Daniel, use him.
Mm-hmm.
And then even, like, Karen was like, man, like, all of you suck and you're terrible. But
yeah.
I guess if I have to, you know, if I'm Sean, I guess I have to trust Karen now and kind of be a team. Otherwise, we're not going to get Daniel back. But yeah, I feel like this was probably the episode that made me the most, like, angry about things.
Right.
Maybe episode one where you find that racist dude at the gas station thing,
that guy
fucking sucked.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like, you had that and then two other situations where you're like, man, I'm angry at this, what they did here. Which, they did it well, because, I mean, it didn't feel like that crazy or like that, like, unrealistic, but I was emotionally stirred, for sure.
Yeah. I feel like all those things are real things. Like, there's real people like those three things to make you angry.
Yeah.
Yeah. I felt like Karen was the enemy of my enemy is my friend kind of thing. It's like, all right, I think you suck terribly, but you also think this is a cult and want to save Daniel. So fine.
Yeah.
I'll team up with you, even though I'm not into it. Like.
Yeah. And it was kind of interesting, too, now that I think about it. You kind of had two sides of each coin. So you had, like, there were racist people, and then you had the trucker who wasn't racist, but... probably lived there, so who could have been racist. You kind of had, like, good and bad. And then you had Karen, who was like this, find yourself, whatever works, just do your own thing. And then you had this cult who was like the opposite, like, no, this is how it goes.
Mm-mm.
Whatever.
Yeah.
So you kind of had, like, two dichotomies contrasted. And I guess the only good one was the trucker, but
right.
Karen's kind of bad. Well, not bad. She was selfish and shitty.
Right.
The cult was... fucked up and shitty. The racist people were obviously fucked up and shitty.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of like, I think they hit a couple different things in the same episode, which was kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah. Lots of bad things going on.
Mm-hmm.
I guess related to that, I really liked their critique on Karen, the like living your best life critique. Like, she pursued what she wanted, but it was shitty. Like, you know, culturally or societally, like, a lot of people are like, oh, be true to yourself and like live the life you always wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, here's what this ends up being, and it's like, she sucks. None of us like her.
Mm-hmm.
We all hate her, and so, like...
And none of her dreams came true, either, like she was talking about.
Yeah, right, yeah. It doesn't seem like what she wanted worked out anyway,
mm-hmm.
but that, like, the thought of, like, oh, you just, you know, live in the moment and do what you feel like, or whatever, like, that kind of thing, like, there are definitely real true elements to being true to yourself that matters, but, like...
Yeah.
It shouldn't be haphazardly embraced. It shouldn't just be like, cool, I'm doing me, and like, who cares about anyone else I engage with, because like, mm-hmm. I'm doing me. Like, it's like, you want to be that, you're Karen, like,
mm-hmm.
and she sucks, like, she hurt everyone. And I was thinking, like, along this, like, there really are probably a lot of other options she could have done before doing what she did. You know, she could have, I don't know if it was her job that she was feeling especially bad about, like, it feels like other people's lives are progressing and mine's the same, you know. You could work somewhere else. Or, okay, you know, I don't want to be with Esteban anymore or something. Fine. You could like, get a divorce and do something else. Or, I don't know. I feel like there's just a lot of better options than ghosting them. Because what you find out is that, like, it's like, no one's spoken to her in 8 years. Just one day she, like, packed her stuff, moved out,
yep.
and left. Like, she didn't say anything. You find out that she didn't, like send them birthday cards or anything. And she said it, and they like wanting to be helpful, but really it's just self-protective of like, oh, I didn't want it to be hard for you. It's like,
yeah,
no, you didn't want it to be hard for you.
Yeah.
Like you could choose to not be a part of that family in the same way and not be a total fuckhead. Like, it could still be shitty and bad, but like, you could have really made this situation better. But instead it's like ghosting your family. It's like, you know, any anger you might have for Max ghosting Chloe, man, a bazillion times more here. It's yep. like, you know, at least Max was like 12 or something. Like,
yeah, didn't know better.
Yeah, like,
well, sort of knew better.
Yeah, but like, isn't matured or, you know, whatever. Like, you're a kid, you do bad things more, but it's like, you're an adult and like, you had kids. Like, you loved Esteban at one point enough to marry him, presumably.
Mm-hmm.
You loved your kids enough that it sounded like there were times where you were a good mom and then you were like, nah, not for me.
Yeah, like, fuck that.
Yeah, that's, ugh. So I really like that the game critiqued that, because that's, you know, that's a value that I feel like is embraced in a lot of ways, and it's like, there are good things to that value, but, like, here's the harmful version.
Yeah, not this situation, yep.
Here's a harmful version of how that can be. If you just are like, oh, no, I just always wanted to do me, it's like...
Mm-hmm. Well, shouldn't have had kids and gotten married, sorry.
Yeah, or not, yeah, not ditched it that way.
Yeah,
ghosting, fair. It's messed up.
Yep. I guess my sort of last thought, which is really minor, but how can Sean hotwire cars? Just did it, like, I mean, I guess because his dad was a mechanic, maybe, but I don't know how he'd learn how to do that.
Yeah.
So he just, yeah, when he's like escaping the hospital, he just hotwires a car. And I was like, what the fuck? Do they reference this in earlier episodes and I just don't remember it?
I don't know either.
Yeah.
It seemed kind of out of nowhere.
Yeah.
It has to be Esteban. If he doesn't know from that, then it's like... by the way, he's also this.
Yeah. Like, it's like, but yeah, they just never mentioned it.
You should see him skateboard too.
He just did it, yeah. Or sing. He's a really good singer.
He's a good singer. Right.
Yeah.
Right. It's what? Like they just throw in like a weird talent. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. What? I feel like it has to be with Esteban, but I don't know that they earned that either. I'm not sure. I don't remember anything either.
Yeah. I just thought it was funny. I was like, huh. Maybe I'm just stupid and forgetful, or they just threw this in there because it had to happen this way.
Right. Yeah, it almost feels like you should just have the keys be on the dashboard or something.
Yeah,
like,
or in the glove box, which is what I thought was going to happen.
Right. I've got one last thought. Do you have any more? Or is that it?
No, nope, cool. Yep.
Okay. My last thought is I thought that episode 3 was better than this one. I thought this was a pretty solid episode, but I think my hopes were maybe a bit higher going into this one because I thought episode 3 was really good. I thought episode 3 really, like, captured the Life is Strange magic that I think we're hoping this game would bring,
mm-hmm.
you know? And after a bad episode 2, like, a good, solid episode 1, episode 2 wasn't that good. But then episode 3 was, like, a home run, and I was like, all right, like, they're going to kill it the rest of this way through. I'm really pumped. And instead, this one I feel like was, like, another good, solid episode. Like, it was good, but it didn't match her top 3 for me, and... a little bit of a bummer on that. Like,
yeah.
I'm kind of now, it has me anticipating a solid episode 5.
Yeah.
It's like, I think I don't think it will be bad. I think that they know what they're doing enough, but, the greatness that episode 3 had shown, like that picture or that flash of greatness, I don't think I'm expecting to get it back.
Yeah. That's
for
fair.
Episode 5.
I mean, it'd be hard. So I imagine episode 5 will be crazy. Like, just ending the game. Like, there's no way it's going to be like, that's kind of boring.
Right.
So I imagine it'll be crazy. Maybe not amazing, but I bet the ending will be like, what the fuck?
Right.
Because that's, I mean, Life is Strange. So,
right.
I would assume it's going to be shocking, good or bad.
Yeah. I agree. I think it will definitely be crazy. Yeah. And I'm still eager to play it, you know? Like, I'm looking forward to December 4.
Yeah, me too. Pretty excited about it.
Yeah, I'm excited to
wrap it up.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what they'll do and how they'll wrap this crazy journey on that they've been in. Like, I'm definitely in, but there's definitely some disappointment just because I thought 3 was so good.
Yeah, it's fair.
So
yeah,
we got some listener feedback that's general on the episode at large. Nikki on Twitter wrote in and she said the episode felt weird, but I can't put my finger on why. The cult creeped me the fuck out. Super interesting that Sean started adding creative twists to his drawings. Meeting Karen felt weird. I might have to look at that again. And the ending was pretty intense. Like, wow. Yeah.
I think the cult was, like, it made me feel weird, too. Mm-hmm. It's like, man, this is, like, a weird, real thing that people get into somehow.
Yeah. Yeah, that people can get roped in there. Yeah. Yep. Oh, yeah.
Melanie on Twitter said, pacing seemed a bit slow, but there was a lot of story with Karen to pick up on. Felt the hospital could have been shorter. Episode 3 is still my favorite. I still enjoyed the episode, but ultimately it left me wishing it had been, it had done more. That's kind of like what we had just talked about, too.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like that's similar to your feelings.
Yeah. Chris on Twitter said, I felt it was a slow episode, but the way episode 3 ended, this felt like the correct pacing for this one. Story-wise, it was solid. I like that we finally got to meet Karen and hear her side of the story. With one episode left, I'm going to be pissed if we don't see Brody again. I know.
Brody, the guy.
Yeah.
I liked him a lot.
I did too. I suspect we won't, but yeah. I would like to see him again.
That'd be really cool.
Yeah. I was thinking something that this episode, I think, did well. I think. Is that they've shown that each episode you've kind of meet cool and shitty people along the way. Like, the road is full of both.
That's true.
Like, meeting Joey along the way. Super cool.
Mm-hmm.
Even the trucker, cool. Less so because we didn't spend as much time with him.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, like, racist assholes, smaller, but they're assholes. Or, you know, Reverend, terrible. Or, yeah, you know, like, whatever. Or, you know, like last episode, the pot farmers, a lot of those, the people we were in the commune with were cool. But then, you know, Meryl and Big Joe are douchebags.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I do kind of like that trend did continue. I like that we've met cool people along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess also bad ones, but I do like that there's a variety of people we've met.
Yeah, I wonder what the next episode will be.
Yeah, and who we'll meet.
Yeah, we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
Games and Groceries on Twitter said, I'm completely on the fence. It picked up at a good pace, and I liked Sean's determination, but almost felt held back narratively, and the ending didn't have me in a state of emotional trauma like season 1 episode 4 did.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah, that was traumatic.
Well, the first season was just... I feel like every episode was like, this is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. I feel bad almost for Life is Strange 2, a game that it has the same name. I wonder if it was just called something else, if this game would be easier to, like, you're rating on it itself instead of as opposed to season 1.
Yeah.
You know, because, like,
probably.
I loved season 1 so much that, like, beating season 1 is hard. Like for how much I liked episode 3, like, I felt like that was as good as season 1. Like, it was high quality.
Yeah.
You know, kind of thing. But, you know, by nature, though, it's getting compared to that. So these other ones, it's like, it was pretty good, or, like, it was solid, but it's not.
It's no season 1.
It's no season 1, yeah, right?
Which is hard to find anything like that.
Yeah, so it's kind of unfortunate for them. I feel a little bad, like, that they ended up in a situation where they're still using their name.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, I don't know, like, can you replicate that or beat that anyway? Like, I'm not sure.
Probably not.
Yeah, I think it'd be pretty hard. Like,
mm-hmm.
Sometimes sequels are better than originals, but not, like, all the time.
Yeah, I don't know how you'd beat season 1.
Right, yeah. I think
it'd take a lot.
Yeah, I think it'd be pretty hard. Chris? Mm-hmm. Chris on Twitter said, best episode of the season yet. Even better than not only Wastelands, episode 3 last time, but also better than Darkroom, season 1, episode 4. So, that's cool. I'm glad Chris liked it so much. That's great. Seeing someone else feeling that way. It didn't resonate with me that way, but I'd definitely be interested in hearing more, actually.
Yeah.
On
why.
What made this one so especially good, because yeah. that's high praise, because I think Darkroom is probably one of the best episodes in the whole game.
Mm-hmm.
In any of the game, any Life is Strange games. Sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Like,
that one was so shocking and crazy.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah.
So, you know, that's awesome, though.
Mm-hmm. I think last up, we got Adam on Twitter. He said, I thought it was pretty good episode. Definitely different in tone from the last one, but I still enjoyed it. The cult made for some pretty good villains. They were definitely easy to hate. Yes, they were.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting seeing their mom, and I was glad to see, even if you hear her out and ask her all of your questions, Sean is still a little tense with her. There's not just a sudden, hey, everything is cool between us moment or anything like that. The real highlight of the episode, though, was Sean calling out Daniel on that stupid haircut seconds after he met me with basically the same joke. That's funny.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, I did make fun of his bowl cut too.
Yeah, I laughed. That was the first thing I noticed when I laughed.
Yeah.
So like, bowl cut!
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah, I thought that was funny. And I did like that too, that even, like, mine, I did the positive route with Karen. But it wasn't like, cool, like, let's move in together and be best friends now. Like,
yeah,
it you're wasn't
my mom
that.
Again.
Yeah, yeah, you're my mom again, I found you. Like, instead it was like, fine. Like, I'm glad you told me, I'm glad I heard you out, but like, yeah, you still are a turd.
Yeah, you don't just have my respect back or whatever.
Yeah, so that's episode 4, Faith. Also, our friends Games and Grocery, they have probably released by now also their episode on Life is Strange. I think they come out the day before us. But either way, if you're listening to this and you want more Life is Strange on Faith, check them out. You can listen more there. But yeah, I guess that wraps up Faith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so next time we're going to do The Walking Dead Season 1.
Yeah.
Crazy throwback for us. We played that, I don't know how many years ago, but
five?
I forget. I forget most of it. I know Lee is a freaking dog, and Clementine's in it.
Yeah, me too.
So, yeah, we're gonna pick that up and record some of that for you guys.
Yeah, yeah. Next time we'll start episode 1.
Yep.
So that's exciting. Really excited to be back in this classic game that we both love a lot. So it'll be fun replaying it and re-experiencing that with you guys. So that will come in 2 weeks. I guess also, as mentioned at the top of the episode, tomorrow our Patreon example episode on the movie adaptations we'd like to see, that will come out. So double episode this week, check that out. And if you like our podcast, we'd really appreciate it if you'd rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher or whatever place you get your podcast from. That will help increase visibility for the show. That would mean a lot. Again, check out our website, thegreatestoryeverplayed.com.
The.
Yeah.
Trademarked.
Yeah, gotta say the. I wish you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thegreatestoryeverplayed.com. Check that out. You can find our Patreon at patreon.com/thegreatestoryeverplayed, or it's a tab on our website. So check those out if you are interested in that. You can find us on Twitter at StoryEverPod, and we can keep talking about Life is Strange 2 or Walking Dead or anything else. That'd be great. Also, you can email us at thegreatestoryeverplayed@gmail.com. And yeah, we'll see you next time.
Later.